A very good morning. Thank you for joining. Yuma Test Summit Bays 9B, if you're in the art scroll. It's probably 9B1, but no guarantees. We are the first wide line of the top wide lines at the two dots. No. The wide lines. That's right. And if you'd go to the bottom wide lines, I'd say, no, the wide lines. Okay. A little humor never hurt, right?
Makadesh, is that what it's called?
You don't have a Gemara. Just joking. You want to look on? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Our topic over here, you'll remember, started from the word Lishkas Parhedrin. Lishkas Parhedrin was the name of the room that the Kohen Gadol was sequestered in 7 days before Yom Kippur. We questioned the name, and we discussed that there was a concept associated with this room of prestige. After all, it's the Kohen Gadol who's being sequestered. But we also discussed that associated with this room was a rotation similar to appointees, where they changed every 12 months and a new person was in charge. And the result of that, as we saw on Test Summit Bays, was that the appointees traditionally, during this time period of the second Beis HaMikdash, would try to milk the office for all it's worth because they knew they weren't going to be there for very long. And they would tax obnoxiously, to the point that when we had a discussion regarding demai, regarding the grain that the Nachtom had to tithe, we were a little bit lenient with him because we knew that we didn't want to obligate him too much in bringing things to Yerushalayim where they're going to make his life difficult and try to get him to unload his goods at virtually no return. We continued. And we observed that the second Beis HaMikdash was considered much more unworthy than the first Beis HaMikdash. And they went through hundreds of Kohanim Gedolim in the same time period that in the first Beis HaMikdash. It was very orderly and people had longevity in their position. We discussed, Taisvis asked, is it really the number of Kohanim Gedolim in the first Beis HaMikdash? Is it really the number in the second Beis HaMikdash? And Taisus grappled with exactly the numbers, but the message of the Gemara is very clear. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was corruption. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it was relatively smooth. We continued in that vein and discussed why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why Shiloh was destroyed, and coming up in a future Gemara is going to be why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Maybe we'll get to that today as well. Our Gemara, fasten your seatbelts, is about the first Beis HaMikdash and why it was destroyed. Says the Gemara, Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Machoriv. Test Summit Bays, the first wide line of the top wide lines. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Devarim Shahayu Bo. Because of the three things that were there. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Ushfichas Damim. Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Gilui Arayis, immoral conduct. Ushfichas Damim, and murder. And these three Averos carried the day, so to speak, in a negative way. And because of these, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, keep in mind something very, very insightful before we get to the Gemara's proof that these were issues in the first Beis HaMikdash. These are also the Gimel Chamuros, the three cardinal sins. What's significant about this is that even when we say a mitzvah is very important, such as Shabbos. Shabbos, how important is Shabbos?
Very.
Very important. Okay? a person intentionally violates Shabbos with Edom and Asra in the time of the Beis HaMikdash with the Sanhedrin, he gets killed for it. His life is forfeit. It's Chayiv Misa. Because he's done a violation that is so devastating to himself and to creation, it's really bad. Right? But if he doesn't do it intentionally, if he asks us a shaila, my life is in danger, can I jump in a car and rush myself to the hospital? What do we answer him?
Yes,
of course. There's a pasuk, v'chai bohem, shmartem od l'nafshoseichem. Whatever proof we have in the Gemara, but pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. Right? So what you see over there is that, yes, this mitzvah is really important. And the person who intentionally violates it is very serious. But in the case of life endangerment, go ahead and violate Shabbos to save a life. Right? The Gimel Chamuros are very different. Not only, number one, you're not allowed to violate these things to save your life, but the entire dimension of Gimel Chamuros is that, yes, if someone comes over to me and this is my choice, violate, not violate, we're not allowed to violate. These three things, even on a v'chai bohem, you're not allowed to violate. So these are the three that caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Let's see the proof. Your seatbelts are fastened? Just making sure. Hands
also,
and feet in. I'm serious. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. If you don't get this, we're in trouble. Yeah.
Do they, in this case, do we say mamish this is the literally? Because there's other times they said it was murder, but it was like murder, really wasn't murder. So do they mean here?
Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. Avodah Zarah. Dichsiv. Ki kotzer hamatza mehistareya. The mat is too small. It doesn't have enough space for the one who wants to lay on the mat.
Not big
enough. Not big enough. Ask the Gemara. You're quoting this pasuk. Let's explain it. My kotzer hamatza mehistareya. What does it mean that the mat is too small for stretching, that you don't fit on the mat? Amar Rabbi Yonasan, kotzer matza zeh mehistarera lov shnei reyim ke'echad. The mat is too small to allow for two friends, neighbors, fellows to be on it at the same time. What Rabbi Yonasan is saying is that this pasuk should be understood to refer to the Beis HaMikdash, in which the Jewish people tried to have Hashem dwell there and Avodah Zarah dwell there. They wanted to have both. And Yeshaya is saying, there's not enough room for the both of us.
As they say in Weston, this town ain't big enough for the
this,
two of us.
Right. This Beis HaMikdash is not big enough for the two of us. Good. That's kotzer hamatza mehistareya. The mat is not big enough for stretching. Who's stretching? What's going on? There's not enough room for both of us. And they tried to invite Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. This was the act of Menashe, the king. And Hashem says, through the Navi, they're not going to work. And that's an example. What were we looking to prove? Avodah Zarah. Good. The end of that pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Bahamesecha sora kehiskanes," and the cover is too small. It's a tzara. It's tzar. It's distressful. It's too small. Not the word tzar, tzayin ayin resh, which means pain. Tzara means distressed. It's too small to fit in. Kehiskanes, to get into it. Okay. So I know that at first glance, one would think that this is a repetitive pasuk, and the pasuk is saying the same thing a second time. The Gemara clearly holds that this is a new addition to our topic. But what I'm saying is you could have learned this superficially. It's another mashal, just like a mat might be too small for two of us to lie on the mat comfortably, get the cushioning. So you could have a cover that's too small from covering both of us. There's an amazing Gemara that says that in the times of a certain Talmudic scholar, his Talmidim were able to cover themselves, shisha, six of them, were able to cover themselves with one blanket. So everybody asks, how can six people cover themselves with one blanket? Presumably a blanket that was fit for one, six people were able to cover themselves with it.
Yeshiva budgets
nowadays. And they answer, what?
It's yeshiva budgets nowadays.
And they answer that if you have Talmidim who are always making sure to push the blanket onto the other person to make sure the other person is provided for, then you could have a blanket that works for six people. But that's the mashal, where you have one item and it's not enough. It's not enough to cover both of us, what we're describing here in our Gemara. And that could easily have been taken to be a mashal to the same thing as the first part of the pasuk, that there's Hashem and there's Avodah Zarah, and you're trying to make room in the Beis HaMikdash for both of us. There isn't. So Hashem says, I'm out of here. In which case, the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed. Okay? But the Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara goes a step deeper. What was my words for this today's share? Simplistically sophisticated? Or something like that, okay? The Gemara takes this one step deeper and tells you this second part of the pasuk has a new insight for us. Amar Rab Shmuel ba Nachmeni, Kimati Rab Yonasan Lahai Kra, when Rab Yonasan got to that pasuk, Bochi, he would cry. Omar, he said, Man Dichsev Bei, the one about whom it is said, Kones Kaneid Me Hayom. Can anybody translate that? Pasuk in Tehillim.
He gathers the waters.
Gathers, good. Me Hayom, the waters of the sea. Kaneid, I didn't ask you to look in article. Kaneid. Like a wall. We have it in Az Yashir. That's good, but that's not, in this context, what it's going to mean. Neid. Nitzvu k'mod neid nozlim. The flowing waters stood like a wall. He was able to gather the water into a wall to effectuate Kriyas Yamsuf at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, that's how great Hashem is. Na'asis lo masecha tzara. And look at that, a masecha, a graven image, becomes a tzara to him. What's a tzara?
And this tzara is the other tzara.
What's a tzara?
It's the wife thing, right?
Good! A tzara means a man has two wives. The case of Chana and Penina. Right, but I'm not sure if that tzuris is the word tzara or the word tzar. I don't know what it is. But in any case, tzara, it means it's distressful. There's not enough room for both of us. You're a nice person, I'm a nice person. But you put the two of us in the same setting, vying for the attention of the husband, and it doesn't work. Okay. So Hashem is described as Masecha, a graven image became a tzara to him. Who are they vying for attention of? The Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Hashem wants to be the mate for the Jewish people. And the graven image is being allocated rights to be the mate of the Jewish people. And the Navi describes it as Nasis lo masecha tzara. The graven image is becoming a tzara to Hashem. How great is Hashem? How odd is this? Hashem was able to, let's hear it, create heaven and earth. No. Give the Torah. No.
Kriyas Yam
Suf. Okay? Okay. Before we go on, if you're missing something, you're in good company. I told you it's a sophisticated Gemara. Patience. Before we go on, I just want to point out the play on words or the development that Rabbi Yonasan did here in the second part of the Pasuk. Take a look at the original Pasuk, two lines above where we are at the end of the line. V'amaseichot sora kihis kanes. The cover was too small to get into. The word maseicha meant cover.
Like a blanket.
Like a blanket. We had in the first part of the Pasuk a matzah, a mat. And in the second part of the Pasuk we have a cover. We're doing fine in the Pasuk. It's a little poetic, a little depth. Okay, but Rabbi Yonasan says, no, there's a play on words here. You know, like lahavdil, but even in English, sometimes you use a heavy word when you want to say the same thing, but you want to say it with heaviness. You want to say it strong. There's an art to using the right word. So the word maseicha, according to Rabbi Yonasan, was used here, either literally or poetically or whatever, but he says, read the pasuk, nasis lo maseicha tzara, the word maseicha means graven image. I give you an example in the handout, the top of page 24 of our handouts. Al tifnu el ho'elilim, don't turn, they're plenty.
All the same.
Al tifnu el ho'elilim, if you don't have, take from here, please. It's fine. Don't turn to the gods, the foreign gods, made-up gods, velohei maseicha losasu lochem, and don't make graven images. And this word is used a number of times. Maseicha, a graven image, an idol. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem, your God. Okay. So Rabbi Yonasan says, we should do this play on words, which says, Hashem, who's so great, Nasis lo maseicha tzara. The end is, over here, that causes the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, is that the graven image was made into a tzara. Okay. Now, there's one humongous opportunity in this Gemara. And that is to ask the question, why of all things that Rabbi Yonasan could come up with to tell of Hashem's greatness, did he invoke the concept of Kones Kaneid Mehayam, that Hashem made the water at Kriyas Yamsuf stand like a wall? And that's the contrast that we're using over here for Nasis Lomaseicha Tzara, that the graven image is a tzara to Hashem. So I did a little searching, and I found, for your learning pleasure, the commentary of the Rif in Ein Yaakov. And the Rif writes a phenomenal insight and way to learn this Gemara. The Rif observes that the wording of the Pasuk is different in the first part than from the second part. If you take a look at the third wide line, you have the first part of the Pasuk in the beginning of the line. Kikotzar hamatza, we have a mat that's too small. Mehistareya, from stretching, from being comfortable on this mat. On the next line, at the end of the line, the Gemara addresses the second part of the Pasuk. The second part of the Pasuk says, V'amaseicha, the cover, or in this case we're switching it to be maseicha, a graven image, tzara, is creating a tzara, or is too small, kehis kanes, as they are getting into it. There's an anomaly here in the pasuk. Mehistareya, which is telling you the condition from stretching, or kehiskanes, as we are getting into it. And the Rif says that the first part of the pasuk is referring to the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the mat is too small for the both of us. But the second part of the pasuk is the reason that they introduced the Avodah Zarah to the Beis HaMikdash and thought they would be able to get away with it. The reason is, Bahamaseicha Zarah Kehiskanes, is the graven image too much of a tzara from coming in? The Rif says it's referring to Pesel Micha. We know that when the Jewish people crossed the Yamsuf out of Mitzrayim, they had an Avodah Zarah with them. The graven image called Pesel Micha. Even so, Hashem split the sea for them, even though there was a graven image. The pasuk,
they carried it through with them?
They carried it through with them. The pasuk says, "Va'amayim lohem choma." This is mainstream Judaism. "Va'amayim lohem choma." The first time is written with a vav. "Va'amayim lohem choma." The water was for them as a wall. The second time is written without the vav. Say Chazal, choma without a vav spells chema, anger. Hashem was angry with them even as he built the wall for them. V'hamayim lohem choma, chema, because they took Pesel Micha, they took this idol with them, just in case.
Was it the Arab from?
Micha is the same as
Shevet Don. There were people in Shevet Don, or associated with Shevet Don, who are carrying some sort of graven image. Chazal make a big deal about it, but nevertheless, the sea split for them.
Right.
Says the Rif, their argument was, as we find often in the first Beis HaMikdash, we're not rejecting Hashem. We're just wondering if we could straddle the fence and also flirt with other gods, energies, opportunities. That was Eliyahu's message, the famous showdown at Har HaKarmel when he built his Mizbeach. He said, "Ad masay atem holchem al shnei ha-se'ifim? How long are you going to straddle the fence and go that path and that path? Ima Baal, if you believe in Baal, so go with it and you'll be lost. If you go with Hashem, so go with Hashem exclusively. But when you straddle the fence, you're mixed up." There's an expression, I don't know if it ever really existed, but there's an expression, at least in folklore of the Middle Ages, called devil's brew. Devil's brew is that they put poison with the antidote into the same herbal mix. And the person eats it, but instead of dying, they get enormously sick. And they keep, because it keeps the poison with the antidote. And that's this description. Person who's involved with Hashem, he comes davens 3 times a day, but he also goes to the Beis Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Once met a person in the army, and he showed me his necklace. His next to his dog tag, he had a Jewish star, a Christian cross, and an Arab crescent. Oh, no. He says, "I'm in the army, I'm not taking any chances." So Eliyahu HaNavi would say to him, make a choice and run with it. What the people of this generation did, as the Rif is understanding Rabbi Yonasan's insight, is they argued, we could afford to have an Avodah Zarah, and Hashem will still protect us. After all, didn't he? Kones kaneid me hayom. Hashem made the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf for us, even though we had idols. Just, you know, we're still worshiping Hashem, but we also have something else going on. Take a look at the Rif. Towards the end where I underlined. Al zeh hayabocha Rab Yonasan ve'omer. This is what Rabbi Yonasan was crying and saying. Ma'asu al kocha. How could they do such a thing? La'asos ha'pesel tzora b'makam ha'matrona. Because over here you're bringing it in to Hashem's palace. If you have something by Kriyas Yamsuf, that's one thing. But if you're going to bring it into Hashem's palace, you're evicting Hashem, kaviyachol. You're not comfortable here anymore. In his makam ha'shchina. Kamosha asu alayom, just like you did by the sea. Shekosuf sham, indeed it says over there, kanes kened me'ayom v'nitzvah k'mo ned nozlim, that the water stood like a wall. V'sham hem et pesal micha, and over there Hashem tolerated pesal micha. V'kan asu gam ken kis kanes, and here also they argued the same thing, kis kanes, as they were bringing it in. This end of the pasuk, the Rif says, is not after the fact, this is kehiskanes. They argued that you could bring it in. Kemo bizman sha'asa hiskanes kened me'ayom. Just like we did it when we walked in and brought it in to Kriyas Yamsuf. Shemidu pesel kenasu gamata. V'lo yodu, v'lo yavinu. And they don't understand. It wasn't creating a tzara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own place to evict him. Because it wasn't the place of Shechina. But here, you're making a tzara, you're making a second wife, a second husband, whatever you want to call it. You're trying to do this in the place of Kedusha. It's not going to work. Amar Rabbi Yonasan got to this pasuk, Bacha, he cried because he was reliving their mistake. And he said, this is where they veered off the fork in the road. And this is the moment of, if you're able to have the foresight, of the ultimate tragedy and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. They thought they could straddle the fence, have Avodah Zorah in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was the million-dollar question here. If we're going to say that Hashem is great, how dare you make a tzara for Him, why did we choose Kriyas Yamsuf? And the Rif is saying very precisely, this is Rabbi Yonasan's insight. The second part of the pasuk is not telling you, oh, how terrible it is that Hashem and Avodah Zorah in the same place. No, the second part of the pasuk is telling you this was their reasoning to go ahead and do this. And therefore, when Rabbi Yonasan got to that, this is not just crying about the Churban. That he'll do on Tisha B'Av, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he does it more often, I don't know. But when he gets to this pasuk, the moment where they made the decision, he started crying. I mean, how sad that they made that decision.
This is where
they went
wrong.
This is where
they
went wrong.
That's how they rationalized.
They're rationalizing. Good. Okay? Let's continue. Gili Arayis. The end of about the seventh line in the wide. Gili Arayis Dechsiv. How do we know that in the first Beis HaMikdash there was Gili Arayis, and that was a significant flaw causing the Churban? Vayomer Hashem, Pasuk in Yeshaya. Yan ki gavhu benos Tzion. Because the daughters of Tzion were haughty, they were tall. Fatelachna netuyas garon. And they went with outstretched necks. Umesakro seinayim. And their eyes were winking, were active. Holoch vitafof telachna. They were going in a way that was like floating. Uvaraglayen teachasna. And through their feet, they caused poison. So we're going to explain the pasuk now. Yan ki gavu b'nos Tzion. What does it mean that the daughters of Tzion were tall or haughty or high? So the Gemara says, Shayom ahalchos arucha betzad kitzara. They would arrange themselves, women, females, to pair up the tall one with the short one. Now, some learn that this was to highlight how tall the tall woman was, and that would make her more attractive. I think that knowing a little bit about presentations, it could be that the contrast itself was provocative. It was calling attention to themselves. It itself, intrinsically, you purposely walk a tall with a short, okay, you're attracting attention, right, and it lacks tzinius.
Because you stick out in a sense.
You stick out, or you're showing extremes, or you're showing opportunities, or however we understand it. I don't think it's just highlighting how tall you are as if tall is good, intrinsically the best, the dream. I think that tall, short contrast may itself be
something like they wore high heels,
provocative.
Like
you're
but
that they weren't just friends, they
were pairing themselves up and walking down the street. Let's continue and you'll see the context. But they lachna netuyas goron, and they were going with outstretched necks. Shayu mahalchos bekoma zekufa. They walked with high head in a haughty manner. Omisakro seinayim, and they were winking. They had very strategic makeup around their eyes. And they were going in a way that appeared that they were floating. They were walking very slowly, one foot right in front of the other. Which, I don't know how graphic we need to be in our imagery, but apparently it was like a move.
They're being
as they floated down the street, begging to be noticed. And finally, uvraglehen te'ochasna, and with their feet, they caused poison. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shayumavios morva aparsimon. They would bring these types of spices, myrrh and balsam, umanichos bimin alehen, and they would put them in their shoes. Uchashamagios etzabachura Yisrael. When they got to a group of boys, boatos, they would kick with their foot. Umatizos alehem, they would spray them, so to speak, with the smell. They would break the shell or whatever, and it would emit the smell that was seductive, umachnisim bam yetzahara, and they would bring into the boys the yetzahara ke'eres nochosh, da'achna, like the poison of a snake. So the imagery here of te'ochasna, poison, is a mushel. Just like a snake can bring poison into the person, you could do that through certain types of perfume and get the person literally to be activated and excited in a way similar to something, an energy that's running through their body. To get boy-girl energy running through the body, it was like a snake in their impact. And this pasuk in Yeshaya is what the Gemara cites as the source that there was a whole strategy of Gilui Arayos which the girls were into, and this is one of the things that the Beis HaMikdash destruction is attributed to. Question? Yeah.
Question about the definition of Gilui Arayos for which we have to give up our life. What is, at what point, I mean, there are different levels.
So this is well beyond our discussion, but it is brought that even the avak of Gilui Arayos, the small stuff of Gilui Arayos, you have to be Moser Nefesh for, which prompts the question where you have a yichud situation, how fast do you got to get out of it? I'm jumping. You know, like, I mean, how? What do you have to do to get out of it? But it's a legitimate question. Very quickly, because even the avak of Gili Arayis is serious.
Behavior.
Well, we don't know where it went after this. The Gemara doesn't bother, you know. But yeah, I mean, this is enough for us to be comfortable with the Gemara saying that Gili Arayis, if this was a trend, a societal trend, that this is enough for us to be able to list Gili Arayis as one of the reasons for the destruction. This is moral corruption.
Wow, look how...
Yeah.
It's like nothing compared to what we have today.
Yes, nothing.
Simcha is...
Well, I mean, you could see why the Rabbonim
had offense
when they take a look at something like this and see this Gemara and say, well, we don't want this happening.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you have complaints about perfume and certain applications. You need to know when you're supposed to be using it and when not. Yeah.
A big to-do is made about Tu B'Av. And didn't the girls go out to a field and they met boys?
It was all clean. It was all with total intention to get married so that the tribe of Binyamin would be able to rejuvenate. Picture the scene over here, right?
So
you could have this. I just want to show you. The same Rav, uh-huh. Right? Just to put in context. The same Rav might say, I strongly disagree with boys and girls socializing, men and women socializing, we should have separate seating, and we should make sure they're only seated next to their spouses, and we shouldn't have any open stuff. The same exact Rav, when assessing a shidduch crisis, and talking about boys, girls that are dating, and it's just not going, and it takes them, think about what it takes for a date. That number of hours, the number of weeks, he said yes, then finally she says yes, then he's busy, she's busy. They finally manage to go out, and then it's a DOA, dead on arrival. You open the door, and you know, this is not happening, and they're already committed to 10 hours. He traveled in, then it's a date to be dignified. You can't just say, well, I don't like the way you look, so it's over. I mean, you're going to take her out, and you're going to be... polite about it, and then you're going to drop her off, and then you're going to tell the shatran, it's not for me. Nice girl, not for me, right? So the same Rav might say, at a certain point, I agree with you running a singles event. I agree. Everyone should be dressed sneistic, everybody should be dignified about it, but yes, let the boys and girls see each other, socialize, spend 10 minutes talking to each other, and then go over to the shadchanim and say, please set me up with the girl by the name of so-and-so because I think it has potential. I could see the same exact Rav who's a diehard against frivolous boy-girl relationships being the same diehard that in the case of Shidduchim, we should open up the avenues and make it more available. I'm not saying how to paskin, I'm telling anybody. I could see the same Rav. It would not be a stira to me if the same Rav would do both.
So is the Rav saying that when we read the psukim or the description of the Tuba'at celebration and the rejuvenation of the Yamin, that we should see it as a singles event? Because in my mind, you know, from what I read,
I don't know what you're reading.
Is it the
Gemara? The Gemara's on it. We could go through the Gemara's. But in
like
context of the Jewish
nice
people, in the context of the Jewish people, it is clear that it was done as a clean singles event.
Okay.
Where they told people what they should look for, and it depends how esoteric you want to get, but even on face value... Yeah, different men are looking on different levels for different... You know, but the hope was to build a bias neman be Yisrael. We never gave... We never lowered our standards. There's no question. It was to build a bias neman be Yisrael. This was not.
So we can assume that it was not. These girls were not looking for the perfect husband.
No. I suggest you learn the book of Yeshaya. And you'll get a little feel for, I mean, both the promise of ultimate redemption, but also what was going wrong.
Just a small point.
Yeah.
Well, when you have the big girl and the small girl.
Yeah.
So I guess the small girl would realize, well, if she walks with the big girl, and the bigger it's a lot of attraction, she'll still get some of the people.
I don't know what they're. I wasn't hired as a consultant for the underground. All I can say is that from our perspective, they're causing trouble. They're causing trouble. Well, they're causing trouble because it highlights the greatness, so to speak, of the taller one, yeah, as some learn, or the whole thing is a provocation.
Right, but the Gemara is calling.
We got tall and we got short.
Okay.
It's.
We have both cases.
In any case, yeah.
But the Gemara is saying that's Giliarius. Or it led to it. That's
I'm not positive what to do with the Gemara.
Okay.
All I can say is that we proved our point. Hands down. Gilui Arayos, moral corruption of this type, contributed to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I grant you, there's more to do here. At what point did
that's
Hashem
serious.
Pull the
yeah.
plug?
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
Because they took the first step, because the perfume was emitted, because of the behavior that happened as a result. I'm not going there. I don't know. Okay. There's definitely more to learn. But hands down, the Gemara proved its point. You can't get it. I mean, they picked the right pasuk. Yeah?
Yeah. Quick question. Ka'aris is a snake?
Oh, so this is important. Ochos is the poison of a snake. Mitzudas Tzion Mishle Zayin Chaf Beis tells us that Ochos, Ayin Chaf Samach, is the poison of a snake. And that's where this Gemara is going ahead and explaining the Pasuk as such. Okay. Let's continue.
Yeah, I just happened to notice.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, in one of the notes here in Art School here.
Yes.
Art School, he kind of implies that these types of women here may have been married actually, and they're just going for extracurricular.
If they were married, then we're in bigger trouble.
Yeah, right. That's
but
right.
Even if they're not married.
It's still not the way.
Even if they're not. Okay.
Even if they're not married, we're in trouble.
Right.
Okay. Shefichas domim, murder. Dechsev, the pasuk says, v'gam damnoki, innocent blood, shafach menashe, menashe spilled, harbe meod, a lot, ada shamilias yushalayim pelefeh, from one end of the city to the other, menashe was killing. And that shefichas domim, coming from the leadership, was one of the factors to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the one additional point that we need to address in this Gemara is that there's a different statement in Chazal that says, famous Gemara, that the reason the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because Al Shalo Birchu Batoro Betchila, because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Now, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah is the reason, and I don't know, Gimel Chamurus, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shefichas Domim, it needs commentary, it needs an explanation. So let's look at the handout, and this comes up in at least two places. I took it from the Medrash Rabbah in Eicha. Rav Huna v'Rav Yimya b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar. Motzino shevita HaKadosh Baruch Hu al avodas kochov v'mal Gilui Arayos v'al shvichas domim. We find that Hashem would have been willing to be mevater, to overlook these three averus. V'lo viter, but he was not willing to overlook al mo'aso shel Torah, on the disgust, on the rejection, on the lack of respect for Torah. Shenemar. Because there's a pasuk, Ama Avda Ha'aretz, they were wondering why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was Eretz Yisrael decimated? And the pasuk does not respond from the Navi because of Gimel Chamuros, the way our Gemara does. Elo al ozvam es Torasi. The pasuk says because they have forsaken my Torah. Ravuna Rav Yemiya b'shem Rav Chiya bar Abba Amri, Ksiv v'osi ozvil v'estarasi lo shamaru. To forsake Torah, to forsake Hashem, and not to keep the Torah. So the expression is, and this is what we're centering in on, halavai osi ozvi v'tarasi shamaru. Hashem says, I'm fine if they reject me. I'm fine if they go with Avodah Zorah. But they should keep Torah. Mitoch shal yumis askim ba, if they would continue toiling in Torah, ha-ma'or sheba yumachziron lamutav, the light of Torah, the illumination of Torah, would bring them back. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna said, lamot Torah, study Torah, afa b'shelo l'shma, even if it's not for the right reason, shemitoch shelo l'shma ba l'shma, because good things will happen to you. So the Medrash seems to say that if it was just Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis v'chasdomim, Hashem would have been mevater, he would have been patient. But because thrown into the mix was a lack of respect for Torah, therefore Hashem said, all is over.
But, I don't understand it. First it says, if they would have, if Hashem says, if they would have rejected me, he doesn't. It seems like
Avodah Zarah.
Okay, but then he said, but it seems like a contradiction, because it says first if he would have rejected me, he wouldn't have minded that. But his issue was the lack of respect of rejection of Torah.
Correct.
So the question I have is that the two seem interconnected.
Very good.
Which is that if they wouldn't have rejected me, I wouldn't have minded. Yet his concern is about a lack of respect of Torah. But if you respect the Torah, therefore you're not rejecting. Therefore, there's an interconnection between the respect of Torah and the non-rejection of Hashem. So how can Hashem say that if you rejected me, I don't mind, but my concern is the lack of respect.
Beautiful, beautiful. So you're saying they seem to be synonymous.
Yes.
So let's get back to our understanding of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah does not necessarily mean that I trash God. Avodah Zarah means I bring an Avodah Zarah in, perhaps as an addition, Rachmana Litzlan.
Like a tzara.
Like a tzara.
Right.
Keep in mind that the ego, which was the quintessential first example of the Jewish people flirting with Avodah Zarah, it doesn't say that they're substituting the ego for Hashem. It says they're substituting the ego, kize Moshe ha'ish, to substitute the ego for Moshe. They're introducing the ego into the religion, not instead of Hashem. And therefore it is possible to reject Hashem, meaning Avodah Zarah, but the person doesn't think I rejected Hashem. Oh, I love you, Hashem! We're still on great terms. I want you to give me a good, bountiful crop. I'm also doing other things. Sometimes. Right?
Hedging my bet.
So Hashem says, that's called v'torasi shamaru. But if you keep yourself in the Beis Medrash a good 8, 10, 12 hours a day, eventually the Torah would illuminate you and you'd straighten out your act. So it's possible to have rejection of Hashem with Torah. It's possible. Hashem says, I would have been okay. So let's pause. So what actually did cause the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? And we've already alluded to it, but it's developed very beautifully by Mishnas Rabbaran. The concept of Shelo Birchu BaTorah Tchila, Rabbaran Kotler writes, his famous understanding is they didn't view Torah important enough to make a bracha on it. In other words, it was an observance. I'll do it. But they didn't see it as a mitzvah. Why are they learning Torah? Because it's a hechitimtza. It's a way that I'll know how to put up a mezuzah, so I'll learn the laws of mezuzah. They didn't see Torah as a mitzvah in and of itself, and therefore they weren't open to its illumination. The old line, where is God? Wherever man lets him in. If in your mind there's no illumination, then you're not open to it. So you didn't open the door. It's not going to affect you. So if you don't perceive the Torah as important enough to make a bracha, thanking Hashem for Torah and giving us a mitzvah to study Torah, then the illumination is not available to you. It's just, it's your fault. You just weren't open to it. And therefore, because they didn't make the bracha and didn't validate the importance of Torah, this illumination that the Chazal tell us could theoretically straighten you out, even from Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Domim, it wasn't available. And it didn't help them, and it wasn't going to help them, and therefore Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You take a look where I underlined, Lo ikiru bigodel chiyuv ha'odah aleh. They didn't appreciate how much to thank Hashem. And therefore, it wasn't available, that illumination. And at the end, if the importance of Torah, if the treasure of Torah, had indeed been to them karoi, fitting, Hashem would have waited, because there was hope that they would yet fix it up and restore themselves to greatness. So again, going back to our Gemara, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for three reasons. Avodah Zarah, we describe Hashem as a tzara, the way they set it up. And according to the Rif in Ein Yaakov, they had a whole reasoning as to why they thought they'd be able to balance this thing and get away with it. From Kriyas Yamsuf, Pesel Micha, Gilei Arayos, we have an astounding pasuk in Yeshaya telling us with graphic detail what was going on. Shvichas Damim is the description under Menashe's reign of the amount of murder that was going on. And we had a question. There's a different Maimer Chazal that says that Hashem was willing to be mevater on Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim. It's only because they didn't say Berchas HaTorah that they were destroyed. And Rebaran says that's correct. Birchas HaTorah, based on the Chazal, that the illumination of Torah can fix you up. If Birchas HaTorah had been in place, if they valued Torah, they could have been fixed up and Hashem still would have been patient. But since that formula wasn't activated by them, wasn't respected by them, and therefore wasn't available and wasn't going to happen, therefore, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Damim brought the Beis HaMikdash destruction about. Yeah?
It still seems difficult why the Gemara doesn't say that. You know, it's, that is an understanding.
Doesn't say what?
About Sol Bicham.
It's a different Gemara.
I know, but this is an Iker Sugya of why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it's telling you these things, but it's saying, well, that's not, that's like the result. But the Iker reason is they didn't say the Bracha Mitzvah. What? Why doesn't it?
You're a doctor. Yeah?
Not today.
Answer the affirmative. Okay, answer in the affirmative. You're a doctor. Okay? A person has an illness. They have an illness, whatever the illness is. And you have an inoculation for that illness. But we don't have it locally. You have to fly it in from Chicago. And unfortunately, we don't fly it in time. And the patient, Hashem protect us, patient dies. What killed the patient? The inoculation, or lack thereof, or getting angry with the pilot who was too late in getting it, or the illness killed the patient. The illness killed the patient. But the other Gemara says, Viter, Hashem was willing to overlook the illness had you had the inoculation. But you didn't. So what killed the patient? The illness killed the patient. Hashem doesn't destroy your Beis HaMikdash because they didn't say the bracha on Berchas HaTorah. That's
so
not
really
the reason.
What could have saved
us? Yes. Yes, Viter, Hashem was willing to overlook.
Since they did that too.
Good. It helps when the question is asked by a doctor. Okay. Have a great day.